You know, it's interesting, coming off of the holidays and wrapping things all up and then trying to start off a new series. And it couldn't help, now that I say summer is here, it's spring. But it's getting nice out. Out walking around and seeing a few people out around town. And as the sun is shining, I've shared with you all before that, my emotions are solar powered. So when the sun is out, I just feel fantastic, So going out for a few walks, seeing everyone and greeting everyone and wearing the short sleeves. And I even had shorts on, I think it was Friday, right? Friday was really nice. I had shorts. My legs are whiter than the pews, but all right, we'll have to work on that. But it was nice and beautiful all out, And winter is nice because, like I told you guys, during sweater weather, that's a tongue twister. You put a sweater on and you get a little chunky over the, not you guys, but me, I don't feel so bad, but all of a sudden you start losing the heavy jackets and the sweaters, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, there's more to me to love now. And so, try to get in shape, try to do, eat a little better, try all those things, and it's tough, isn't it? Have you ever tried to, and then what I found is, when I was younger, weight would come and go, I could lose 20 pounds in a week, when I was in my 30s. I'm not in my 30s no more, Bruce, right? I hit 45, and all of a sudden my metabolism just said, I ain't doing this. And so it's been so hard. It's interesting. I turned around and looked this up. This is an older statistic, so I'm sure it's greater now. But in 2018, the health and wellness industry is worth $4.2 trillion. Wow. And where does it all go? They talk about, especially here in America, most of us are out of shape. Or I suppose round is a shape. So we're in shape, just the wrong kind. All right? How many of you are like me? I was like, wow, where's that all that money going? I have a cupboard in my house that if I open up, I have vitamins and herbs, and I got all kinds of potions that's in there that's supposed to do magical things. They're still in the cupboard. Some of them are probably pretty old. I'm hoping that if I just keep them there, they'll do something. Right? But it takes work. It's hard. We talk about physical fitness. It's interesting. I put this verse up online, a verse of the day. If you're online on Facebook, I put a verse of the day on. And it's interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come." So I put that up there, and it's interesting because anytime you put anything about fitness on there, I have some friends who are fitness people, right? They exercise, they bike, they eat all healthy, organic, and so anytime you put anything up there, it's this verse isn't anti-exercise, but anything you kind of question that, they're pretty quick to jump on there and say, whoa, wait a minute, shape up, guy, all right? This verse isn't saying exercise is bad. Actually, exercise is good, right? It's good to be out and about. I think one of the things they talk about even during this COVID time was, at least our governor was saying, hey, get outside and move around, right? I mean, it's an amazing thing. You get out, get some fresh air, lose a few pounds, watch what you eat. I mean, it's amazing how that affects you, and it can affect you mentally as well. Just getting out just for a little bit, boys, it just helps the mentality a little bit. So this verse isn't anti-exercise. Actually, during the Roman times, it was expected that young men would go down and the major cities would have gymnasiums where they would go and go work out. You guys all seen all the Greek statues, And so all these young men would go and work out publicly. Being fit, athletics was big. We got our Olympics because of the Greeks, right? So fitness and form was an important thing to the Greek. And I think Paul had this in mind. He says, look, all the time and energy and finances that we put into this physical being, right? While it's good, it profits just a little compared to what? Godliness. Of being spiritually fit, it's much more important. Now, we can focus on the outside because we see it all the time, right? You know, a little bit of mousse, a little bit of hairspray, you know, a little bit of shaving cream, a few razors, right? It makes wonders. But we spend all this time and energy all on the outside, which fades. And it does. It fades fast. I'm amazing how, as I get older, my forehead gets bigger. Right? You know, the Bible says, you know, God knows how many hairs are on your head. And that's a changing number every day. But we spend all this time about the outside. You watch TV and the commercials about beauty products. We live in a society where people are taking fat from their rear end and injecting it into their lips. You know, I mean, this is sort of the crazy, right? I mean, you see the celebrities that get so much work that they're not even recognizable anymore. You know, how many facelifts, you know, until someone's belly button's on their forehead now? I mean, it's... But we're so obsessed with the outside. And Paul tells us, you know what? It's the inside that matters more. And if we spend as much time concerned about our spiritual fitness as we do our physical fitness, I think it would transform our lives. Romans tells us this. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Paul encourages the Christians here in Rome. He says, look, cast off the things of this world that's kind of dragging you down. He says elsewhere, lay off the weights which so easily ensnare us, right? All this stuff we're carrying around spiritually is just weighing us down and keeping us from running the race that God wants us to run in a way that's effective. And he warns us, first, as the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And I get asked so many times, you know, Pastor, is this the end times? And I don't know. But I'll be honest, I don't know how far God's going to let mankind go before God says enough. And God says the day is at hand. The time has come for Christians to stand up and stand up for what is right and what is decent, to make a difference. You know, let our light so shine before men, and they may see our good works and glorify God. Because we are in a battle. The day is approaching, and there's three battles that the Christian faces that's all around us. The first one is we battle the world, and we're seeing this today. The world that he's talking about is, I'm not talking about nature, I'm talking about the world system. We're fighting the world system. You know, for years as Christians, we thought, well, we just get the right politician in there, we just get the right laws passed, and then everything would be fine. Well, folks, the hope isn't in Washington or Augusta, and we're going to see that. It is going to get worse. The laws and regulations are going to actually turn against, we're seeing this today, against Christians who want to do what's right, who want to do what's loving, and want to take care of their families, but society is going to try to pressure them to accepting the things that are sinful and saying it's okay. And we can't do that. So we're going to fight the world system. You know, pray, especially, you know, my heart breaks for those that have their kids in schools. Because the school system is just indoctrinating these kids with so much baloney. And Christians need to rise up and take a stand and battle that system. And it gets weary after a while. Second thing we battle is Satan. Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. There's a real spiritual battle that's taking place. And that's what's really going on behind the scenes. I remember years ago listening to a reporter. He was not a Christian. But he said he took a step back and looked at some of the movements that were going on through the UN and some of what's going on in the U.S. and some of the policies that's going on. And he goes, look, he goes, I can't explain it. He goes, but there seems to be some kind of connection that somehow these groups that are unrelated to each other seems to have this agenda pushing towards something. He goes, I can't find it. He goes, I don't believe in the Illuminati. I don't believe in all these, some of the crackpot theories that are out there. But something seems to be driving this all in one direction. And as a Christian, we know, you know what? There's a spiritual force that is working in this world. And Satan is real, and his attacks are real. As Christians, we feel that struggle as well. You know, I know in our house, you know, anytime we turn around towards Easter, you know, a big event, someone out of the church, and I know it's interesting, all of a sudden our home becomes a place of spiritual attack. Tensions get high. And it's interesting because what happens, and you know, we've been around this long enough that we go, whoa. You know what? This is Satan who just wants to come in and mess things up. And he does it in your home too. Right? I mean, I can tell you, I grow it up. It's funny. I mean, we got up every day, you know, 6 o'clock, got ready, went to school like clockwork. But somehow Sunday morning when my family, you know, growing up was trying to go to church, that's when everything went awry. Satan is attacking. It's a spiritual war that's going on behind the scenes in all these things. And the last thing we battle is the flesh. Now, the last one I talk about Satan, but, you know, I've ever heard people say, well, the devil made me do it. Right? You ever heard that? The devil made me do it. But you know what? My heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. I don't really need the devil's help sometimes. I'm pretty bad myself. And as Christians, we get a new spirit within us. The Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in us. But we still got that old man. Paul refers to it as the flesh, that old, unredeemed, unsanctified part of us that likes the sin, that likes its own desires, and it pulls us back and it drags us down. The appetites of the flesh, it's all around us, the things that appeal by commercials and shows and all these things that feed into the lust, and it feeds into our flesh. And so what I want to talk about in this series is really sort of spiritual exercises that we can do. Some refer to them as spiritual disciplines that we can do that will strengthen our spirits, that will help us live stronger, better Christian lives. Now, I do want to warn you, because when we start talking about this, it's easy to fall into this idea of being self-righteous. Right? Now, because I do X doesn't mean I'm spiritual. I do things because of where I am with the Lord first. For instance, you know, we're going to talk about fasting. The Bible talks about fasting. And so we got to be careful. I say, oh, because I'm fast, now I'm spiritual. It doesn't work that way. We're going to talk about giving. Now, just because I give doesn't mean I'm spiritual. Right? Just because I read my Bible, just because I pray, just because I do these activities does not equate to me being spiritual. Actually, Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he says, he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he goes on to talk about a Pharisee goes down to the temple, and he stands there, and he looks around, and he goes, oh, thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. I'm not pointing at you, Steve. I'm not like that sinner over there. Oh, I have never done all those sins, and I give money, and I do all these things. Oh, look how righteous I am. And Jesus says, and there was a man who turned around, and in the corner, turned around and says, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, that man went away righteous. So we got to be careful. I grew up in churches that were legalistic. What that means is they have rules and regulations that they really kind of use to gauge my spirituality, right? If you had a certain haircut, you were spiritual. If you wore a certain clothing, that you were spiritual. And if you didn't, you were looked down upon because you weren't as spiritual. Right? My first church I was at, we had a lady that came. And all the ladies wore dresses. They all dressed up. And this one lady came in jeans. And the ladies all kind of ganged up on her and said, "You know, you really should wear a dress." And she's like, "I own one dress. I wear it to a wedding and a funeral. That's all I, you know." And she goes, and they're like, "Oh, but this is Sunday. You got to dress up. You have to do all this." And the ladies all looked down on her. And to her credit, she stood up to them. And she said, "You know what? God sees me every day. This is how I dress every day. And God loves me. I'm not more spiritual because I dress a certain way. And shame on you for judging someone who because of that." But it's easy for that to fall in. And that's why I want to warn you as we start talking about these exercises that we do, these things that we can place in our lives that we can do and kind of sometimes even kind of force ourselves to do. And anyhow, they'll have that work in our lives, but we got to be careful that we don't turn that into this legalism, self-righteousness. One of the churches I was at, the ladies came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, would you like to put together sort of an encouragement group that goes around exercise and eating well and all that?" Which is interesting because that's definitely a ladies' thing. I've never had a man anytime come to me and says, "You know what, Pastor, I want to have a health and wellness group in the church." Never, right? My oldest daughter, she did nursery for the men's breakfast that we were at. And she's like, "Dad, I love men's breakfast because you guys have eggs and bacon and sausage and home fries." She goes, "The ladies, when they have their breakfast, they have fruit and yogurt." You know? And this is why women live longer than men. Right? But they came out and said, "Pastor, we'd like to have this health and wellness sort of central group." I said, "Okay, well, just be careful with it." And ladies would get together and they were doing whatever, they do exercises and they talk about diet. They would do weigh-ins and compare the two. And then after a while, a couple of ladies kind of dropped out. And I just kind of casually talked to them. I said, "Kind of what's going on?" And they're like, "Well, what happened was, you know, I came in weigh in and I weighed myself and it wasn't so good. And the ladies were kind of pressuring me about where I was spiritually because I had gained a few pounds physically." And it became a very dangerous correlation between the two. And became a legalistic thing. So the ladies that were losing weight, oh, they were more spiritual than the ones that were struggling with it. And so I had a talk with the ladies. I said, "Why don't we change the focus of this?" And they turned it into a ladies' Bible study instead of that. Right? There's nothing wrong with exercise and eating well and all that. But it's dangerous when we start equating that with our spirituality. Does that make sense? And you say, "Well, Pastor, yeah." I just want to make sure because it's easy. Anytime you make a list of things, there are people who are like, "Oh, yeah, okay, did that. Oh." And that's not what this is all about. But the Bible does tell us that in here we need to take care of our spiritual life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 27 says this, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into submission, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Right? When you run, you just don't wander around. You have a destination, a finish line you're going towards, right? When you fight, hence the boxing gloves and all of this and this, right? When I'm training, I discipline myself. Talk to these people who get up early in the morning, professional athletes who get up early to exercise. When I was in Minnesota, these kids, young kids, would be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get their ice skates on to be out in the pond for hockey before school. Right? I mean, you're in a sport. That's the illustrations he's using here. You understand discipline. You understand you control your diet. You control your exercise. You do all these so that you can compete well. And he talks about this in his Christian life. The Apostle Paul said, "Look, I take my body and I put it into submission." It's an old Indian saying. It says, "Within each one of us there are two wolves fighting for control of our hearts. One is evil, one is good. Which will win?" And the answer is the one that you feed. And I think there's a biblical principle in here. Because if we feed the flesh, it becomes stronger. The desires have become stronger and it has more control in our lives. But if we feed the Spirit, it becomes stronger. And praise the Lord that in here, not only do we have a renewed spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit now who comes and dwells in us. And praise God, the greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. But in here, as Christians, as we are taking our appetites, where do we take it from? From the Lord, or we take it from the world? And it makes a difference in our lives and how effective we are. Paul continues on in 1 Corinthians. He says, "And do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown." I don't know if you guys were involved in sports. Soccer was my one sport that I really kind of played in. I tried other sports. I wasn't very good at them. I don't watch sports. Someone asked me, he goes, "With all this Black Lives Matters and all this other stuff, are you giving up sports?" I said, "Yeah, I gave up sports even before all this. I was ahead of the curve." I don't know. But I understand that I remember we had a coach who would turn around at the end of the game. He'd ask us, "Did you leave everything out in the field? Did you leave anything out in the field? Or did you hold back?" Because when the game's over, doesn't matter how much energy you have, right? Might as well get out there and give all that you have. Christian, in the Christian life, we need to give it all that we have. Give God everything. To live for Him, to follow Him. When we follow sort of a spiritual fitness plan, if you will, it does a couple things. One, it gives us endurance. The Bible talks a lot about endurance or patience, depending on your Bible translation. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This guy, he ran out of gas. He's grabbing his, that kind of looks like me, grabbing his Skittles there on the road. The run with endurance. See, the more we practice them, the better we become, the longer we can do it. You know, get out walking or biking and all this other stuff. You know, it takes a while to build up. I've been exercising these muscles for a while. Last year, I broke out my unicycle, which I hadn't ridden in probably about 15 years. And so I still had it, so I put air in the tires. I got on it, kind of balanced it out. And like, all right, because I used to ride that all over the place when I was a teenager. I'm not a teenager anymore. And so I went down to the point here, which is, about a mile down there. So I rode the unicycle all the way down a mile. And then coming back, my legs just gave out. And I went down pretty hard, and I was just like, ah, and I was, it's old, right? I'm just old. And my back muscles were sore, and I was hurting. And so I had a new exercise. I carried my unicycle home for a mile. But I couldn't believe how much, I knew I was, but how out of shape I was, how these muscles I hadn't used for a long time. And so I hung a unicycle back up at the house, and it's sat there since. And guess what? If I pulled it off again, I'd probably do the exact same thing. But if I was wise, I would have taken it down and practiced a little bit, and eventually you'll build that endurance. And when we practice spiritual disciplines, when we practice spiritual exercises, it builds up our spirit and gives us that endurance that perseveres in the hard times and in the difficult times. Paul tells the Colossians, it says, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." That long-suffering of the Lord, the patience, the endurance that he gives us, as we practice and we follow him, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Also, when we think about spiritual fitness, what it does is also it strengthens our spirit. It gives us more attuned to spiritual things. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." As you see the Lord work in your lives, it allows you to trust in him more. Now look, the more you pray, it's interesting, you know, talk about this idea of prayer, that when you pray and you see God answer his prayer and you find the relief it comes, guess what? It encourages you to what? Pray more. To trust in the Lord. And as you see this working in your life, it becomes easier to do those things. The more you make it into a habit of reading the Bible, the longer you are able to do it, the more you understand. These spiritual exercises strengthens our spirit so that when the difficult time comes, that look, when we are put to the test, our spirits are strong. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Right? As we clean our hearts, and as we focus upon him, that folks, we have that ability to resist the devil more. Every time I think of this verse, I always think of the guards in England. You know, the ones with the tall hats. Has anyone been to England? I'm deeply jealous. I love to go. And I've just seen this from TV, so hopefully this is true. But in here, the guards are there. They're supposed to stand there no matter what. And you'll always see the tourists, probably more American tourists than anything else, will come up and try to get them to blink and try to get them to move. And their goal is just to stand there and not move. And I always think of this picture of us, that here we are trying to stand in the Lord, and the devil's like, just we're trying to get us to move, and you know, he's like a roaring lion sometimes, and he's trying to distract us and all this other stuff, all right? And what does it take for us to flinch? What does it take for us to move? And these guards are well trained, and they stand there for hours. They didn't start off that way. It was through endurance, and they are strengthened. And folks, the same thing happens to us with the Lord. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I think, folks, the church is become really sort of spiritually weak in this nation. And we've kind of folded on spiritual things. And I think it's really time for the church of God to get a backbone on what's true and stand firmly on his word. So put on, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And lastly this morning, he talks about as we do these spiritual exercises, these spiritual disciplines in our lives, that what it does is it weakens the flesh. Weakens the flesh. And for many of us, we're not used to saying no to our desires. Right? We're not used to telling ourselves, no, you can't. We're not used to denying ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I've walked up to the fridge or in the cupboards and pawned through everything. And I'm like, honey, there's nothing to eat. She's like, I just went shopping. And the cupboards are full, the fridge is full. But I'm looking for that thing that my body just wants, right? You've been there. And so, I don't know what you do, but what I do is I just start eating everything. Right? I'm like, oh, I'll eat a little bit of this. No, that didn't do it. You know, I start off with the healthy things. I'm like, oh, I'll grab some of the nuts. I was like, that didn't do it. Grab some cheese. I'm like, no, that didn't do it. Grab a little bit of fruit. No, that didn't do it. The next thing I know, I've eaten like a four-course meal, digging through the cupboards, trying to find something my body wants. Right? The desires of the flesh are strong. And as Christians, we're so used to feeding it that oftentimes it's the desires of the flesh that lead us and guide us and direct us. And by doing spiritual disciplines or spiritual exercises, if you will, in here, what it does is allow us to say no to the flesh. Romans 13 says this, and put on Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And folks, I mean, we live in such a commercial world, they play to your lusts. Between what the commercials are geared for, I mean, I just never understood. I was watching a show talk about advertising. And even the details of how the food looks. And I mean, they have food stylists who set up the food for the shot that's designed in a way to trigger within you that response of, oh, I want that. Right? Using sex appeal to make it so your eyes are glued to it. Of picking up music that makes a certain beat that draws you in. The world is so good at customizing its desires and attacks for you that if you're not cautious, it's easy to feed into that flesh. And we live in a very fleshy world that appeals to the flesh. If it feels good, do it. Don't deny yourself. You know, you deserve the best. All these messages are just bombarded out there. And it's hard for a Christian to turn around and say, no. But these spiritual exercises turn around and strengthen our spirit, but also help us weaken the flesh. Paul told the Corinthians, says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You can say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. That's true. And God will never take that away from me. I believe that. But it says, well, I have the ability to do something doesn't mean it's good for me. This is a message that is interesting. Now, over the years, I found people are more resistant to. Trust me when I tell you, just because you want something doesn't mean you should have it. Doesn't mean it's good for you. You know, I had a daughter at home that would live off Cheez-Its for every meal. While they're good, actually, depends on what it is. I always find it interesting. You ever seen a cereal commercial? You know, Cocoa Pebbles, you know, whatever cereal. And what they say is all part of a balanced, nutritious breakfast. Look at that picture. You know, they'll have fruit and juice and you know, all this other stuff. The only unhealthy thing on that plate is the cereal. You know, it's like part of this, you know, we got to give all this good stuff to balance off the junk stuff. And they advertise it and push it. You go through the shelves. The good cereals, all the junky cereals. You know where they are? They're this high. You know why? Because you walk through the aisle with your little kid, that's where their eyes are at. And you're like, Mom, 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 Dad, 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 look at this. And time again, I've had more conversation with people who will turn around and say, you know what, I'm just born this way, I'm made this way, I have this desire. And once again, the argument is just because I have a desire for something doesn't justify the consumption of it. That we are sinners. We are broken. Our heart turns towards sins aside from Jesus Christ. And we got to be careful and in here because just because I can doesn't mean I should. And Christian, we need to weaken the desires of the flesh in our lives. Oh, I said lastly, I lied. This one's last. I think. I'll check here in a minute. Also, what spiritual exercises or these disciplines do, it changes our appetites. It changes our appetites. And this is an amazing thing. I know physically, you know, I've been trying to lose weight since January and trying to cut off sugars and all that. And I cheated. But I'll tell you something. I was at somewhere and they had some food, and I'm like, cookies and cakes and ice creams, they're not a strong temptation for me. I'm like bread and pasta. I mean, those are the ones. And so I was somewhere and I'm like, oh, I haven't had bread for 3 months, and there was a sandwich there and it looked so good. And I was like, oh. And so I ate it. And it's weird because without eating sugar for 3 months, and all of a sudden, bread, just a piece of white bread. I could taste the sweetness in the bread. I was like, oh, this is, and then when I was done with that, I'm like, oh, you know what, that really wasn't worth it. You ever done that? You know, if you guys ever kind of got into that whole diet thing, it's like, oh, I'm going to cheat, and then you're afterwards like, oh, that wasn't worth it. And that's really sad. But what happens is, as we deny ourselves, as we turn around from the things of this world, it changes our appetites. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think the key to that is that I seek out the Lord, that all of a sudden the Lord will give me his desires. I will want what he wants, and it changes my appetites. It changes my desires. And I'll share with you guys before, I love to, no offense, Steve, love McDonald's. I mean, I worked at McDonald's. I could eat tons of McDonald's food. And then all of a sudden, like I said, I hit about 45, magic 45, and went through and got a burger and ate it, and I was like, ugh. That didn't really do much for me. Now, the big joke is, when I worked at McDonald's, was during Lent, they would have, you know, filet fish sandwich sales, and we always joked around about, it was always the old people who liked the filet fish sandwiches. And so it's like, oh, they go through and order. And so it's like, oh, yeah, all right. You know? So that was the big joke, was all the old people ate Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. And I don't know why now, because you know what? I really like them now. As opposed to the burgers and all that. I know they're not good for you, and they're greasy and everything else. But I almost think I was an old person now. I'm like, oh, it's interesting how your tastes change according to what you feed it. And folks, if we feed our spirit spiritual things, it will have that desire for more. We deny the things of this world, that appetite will die down. Psalms 42, verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the brook, so pants my soul for you. I got the song in my head. I don't know about deer. I'm not a good hunter, so I don't see too many deer if I'm out. But I know my dog. And my dog will pant. And my poor little dog, I have a Shih Tzu. He's got no nose. He doesn't. And so, this is kind of, I call him Thor, because I want a big macho dog, and he's this little fuzzy white thing. But he tries to drink out of a bowl, and he drowns himself. And so we have a hamster gerbil water thing for him. Real macho. So he has to drink out of that. And it was funny watching him. It's like, you know, if he's out running around and doing something, he just wants the water, and he'll go up and he'll drink that whole bottle. I mean, just that. And that's the picture that he uses here. That look, as that panted, a desire. Is that how we desire God in our lives? That we have needs and we have desires. So we turn to God for all those things. Is he the one that satisfies? And unfortunately, I think as Christians, we get so filled up with the things of this world. Years ago, my wife was off for the day, and it was my job to watch the kiddo, and so we had lots of fun, but I let her eat, I think it was a whole box of Cheez-Its. She likes Cheez-Its and goldfish. And so all afternoon, and my wife goes, how was she? She was great. Well, she was stuffing her face all day, right? How was she? She was fine. And then my wife came home, and she made a wonderful meal and set it down. And my daughter, you know, coming to the table, and guess what she said? She goes, I'm not hungry. And of course, that's when it came out. I said, what'd you do to her? Well, I'll let her eat a box of Cheez-Its. Right? So she was so filled up with all the junk that she had no desire for the good stuff. And Christians, you know what? I think oftentimes we are so filled with the junk food of the world that we're not looking for the spiritual to satisfy us. So in this study, this is subject to change. But these are some spiritual exercises that we're going to go through, and I'm going to try to take a couple a week. But one is prayer. How's your prayer life? Fasting. You know, it's interesting. Growing up, we never heard a whole lot about fasting. Bible study. Worship. Fellowship. Giving, temperance, service, and sharing. So we're going to break these down over the next couple weeks. And once again, we're doing it in a way that's balanced, because I don't want to form a legalistic thing. Say, oh, well, you know what? I pray today, therefore I'm spiritual. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. But I'll tell you, as you improve your prayer life, your walk with the Lord will get stronger. And all these things go through. So spiritually fit, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing? I think the day is coming when folks will have to be sort of in fighting shape spiritually. When the hard times come, are we able to endure and be ready to stand? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you for being who you are. And Lord, in our lives, we just surrender all to you. Lord, I pray as we start off into this study, Lord, of things we can do, practical things, Lord, that will strengthen us and help us walk with you in a better way. Lord, help us be receptive of these things. Change is hard. But Lord, it's for our benefit. Let me serve you better. Soldiers ready and able for duty, Lord. Let me ask this in your name. Amen.